Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I'm joined today by somebody who we were talking right before we went live, has not been on the show nearly as often as I should have had him. That's a mistake on my part, and one that I am fixing here, and then promise to continue to fix moving forward. Eric Pincus, thank you very much for hopping on.
Of course. Happy to do it. Thanks for having me.
Is this like your Christmas? Like the idea of all of these transactions basically just being squeezed into a week-long period?
I don't know about Christmas. It's more like an accountant who has tax day on
tax season.
You know, it's like, it is a blast and it's what I do and it's fun. So I'm not in any way complaining. So I enjoy what I do. But yeah, it's a very overwhelming time. And this year more so than any, because it's all compacted. It's about a month ahead of schedule, at least. I mean, we're months behind schedule, but from when the season ended, I thought we had a little bit more time. But free agency is like a couple days after the draft, and it's gonna be wild. I mean, we're already hearing reports of trades that are going down or that are gonna go down. So it's always an exciting time.
That's actually where we're gonna start on this one, because the Lakers made that reported trade for Dennis Schroeder and for sending out Danny Green and the number 28 pick. This is reported. It hasn't been executed yet because they have to actually make the pick for OKC, right? Because of the Stepien rule. But what were your thoughts on the deal? Do you think this is something that the Lakers are taking on a risk by sending out a wing? There was reports apparently that Rondo was going to get a bigger deal than the Lakers were comfortable giving him. That's kind of surprising to me. But when you saw the details of the deal come down, what did you think of it?
Well, you know, there's maybe an inclination for teams that win to try to keep it all together. Mm-hmm. And there's always sort of like an internal debate from teams on how important is the continuity and how important is it to always get better. Obviously, every team wants to continue to get better and not stay stagnant, stay the same thing. And, you know, Danny Green was good for the Lakers. I don't know if he was everything that they had hoped he would be. And that's just the reality. And look, he helped them win a title. He missed a big shot. But if you take away the big shot, he shot pretty well for them. Not elite, but also he spread the floor. He played defense. He's a great locker room guy. So there's obviously some, you know, risk in losing a wing defender like that. And I do believe that the team has to prioritize improving on the wing. And they've been linked to Wesley Matthews. I think if you believe reports, that's their top priority when it comes to wing defender. I don't know what ends up happening. Most reports from you know, some of the top reporters tend to be pretty close to accurate, but you know, you never know. I like Mo Harkless. I think he'd be a good choice. Wes Matthews is absolutely solid. Not as big as Harkless. Harkless is a bigger defender, and I think a little more versatile and might have a little bit more in his legs. You could argue that Wes is a little bit more dynamic offensively. Not like he's a great offensive player, but probably a little bit. Yeah, he could do a little bit more. I mean, Mo is not a great shooter, and Wes is sort of you know, streaky a little bit. He'll probably be a good shooter this next year, but not a great shooter. But who knows? Let's see where he ends up and what happens. But you know, Schroeder is a young point guard who can score. He's not a Rondo by any stretch as far as a floor leader, and that's an area where we'll have to see. The Lakers will have to see how he can thrive in that role. If you remember the start of the bubble, Dion Waiters got some early minutes when things were just sort of getting back going, and he was not like, you know, the end all be all, but there were moments where he would just drive all this attention on other players, on AD and LeBron, and he would just drive and get a layup because of all that attention. The Lakers didn't have that this last year at all. You know, the closest would be Caruso, you know, as far as like, I mean, to a degree, KCP in transition, but it's not like KCP's often going to beat a guy off the dribble with his handles. Certainly Danny Green wasn't. You could argue THT, Talen Horton Tucker, can and probably will get time and opportunity to show that he can do that. But just adding in somebody who is a high-level scorer, that was something they didn't have this last season. They didn't have someone who could get you 20 points a game. Kuzma was the closest, but positionally didn't make as much sense because LeBron and AD are basically power forwards, even though mm-hmm. LeBron's playing point guard, and they play the same position. So it's a little bit better when it comes to balance, and you still have Kuzma's scoring as well. That might even help Kuzma to not have that kind of pressure. Mm-hmm. So we'll see. I like it for the Lakers. I don't look at Schroeder and say he's my favorite player as far as style. I think that what he needs to show is that he can make good decisions in crunch time, which he did for the most part. The Thunder were one of the best crunch time teams. Actually, I think they were the best crunch time team last season. Mm-hmm. And some of that has to do with Chris Paul and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and the other pieces they had. But a lot of that also had to do with Dennis. So we'll see how he's matured. He has his wingspan is almost as long as Rondo's. They're both small as far as height, like close to like 6'1". Mm-hmm. But they both have really long arms, and that helps defensively. Same with Avery Bradley. You know, smaller players, longer arms. It's almost like they're 6'3 or 6'4 even, or you can even mm-hmm. argue 6'7 or 6'8 if you really go by the wingspan. Great. You're not really giving that up that much in Danny Green. We spoke about him. He's a good player, but he's towards the end of his career. And Dennis mm-hmm. is someone who they can look to reinvest in if they want. And losing the number 28 pick, my understanding is the Lakers are comfortable in this draft. Anywhere from 25 to 45, they feel like they're going to get equal value, give or take. So I wouldn't be shocked if they try to buy a second.
Yeah.
And feel like whatever they get there is the same as what they would have gotten as far as production and whatnot. You know, a team that's competing for championships probably doesn't play many rookies anyway, so it's more of a developmental player.
Yeah. Yeah. Even in the mock draft that we did here for Locked On across the network, my pick was Jaden McDaniels for that very reason, right? So somebody who had high pedigree coming into college, had a disappointing year, is really far from a finished product, and somebody they would just have develop and maybe in a couple of years see what he becomes. And if you're saying that, you know, in that kind of range all the way up to 45, if they feel like they can get a player like that, that is also maybe a couple of years away, it works out for their timeline too. Cap wise, what did the Dennis Schroeder trade mean for the Lakers? Did it, you know, they opened up a little bit because they no longer have that pick, right? And beyond that, it was about a wash.
It's only they're going to have to replace that player. They're going to have to go to at least 14 players. So instead of paying about $2 million, they can trade for a rookie and pay $900,000. Mm-hmm. So if you're, you know, saving $1 million in that might help them with in compounding with other financial decisions. Mm-hmm. For instance, Avery Bradley, is he opting out, which some reports are suggesting he will. Mm-hmm. What they pay KCP, what they if Rondo does return, because I don't, you know, the buzz is he's not, but you know, we'll see. JaVale McGee, those sort of questions. And then are they going to have a full mid-level exception, because they can only spend up to, if they use their full mid-level, which is about $9.3 million, we'll call it 10. Let's say they can pay 10. Mm-hmm. That locks in their total payroll to 139 max. And if you factor in all those players we just talked about, they're not going to be able to use that exception. So they're limited to just under 6 million. And so if you start thinking, okay, well, Avery opts out, Rondo doesn't come back, now the Lakers are sort of nickel and diming where they might be able to get up to that near $10 million. And that extra $1 million savings for that draft pick, going from say a first rounder to a second rounder mm-hmm. and signing that player for the minimum, then in theory, they did open up a little bit. And I'll throw out that, like, you know, there's still that possibility that the Lakers might want to hoard cap space for 2021, not this offseason, the next one. Now, if you look at the numbers and you look at what LeBron's going to make, you look at what AD is going to make, most likely, you're talking about not enough space. LeBron can opt out after the season, and his number is at the max is in the $41 million range. He can come and resign for less, like 35, 30, 25 or whatever. I don't think he'll do that, but
yeah,
there are ways where the Lakers could become a captain. If AD takes a 1 year, a 1+1, which is, he's going to resign, and I think he takes a 3-year deal with a 2+1 with an option on the last year. Instead, if he takes a 1+1, then maybe there is some sort of overarching plan that maybe LeBron is helping to orchestrate, whereby the Lakers have cap room in 2021, which would require both of their participation, especially because the cap is not going to go up as high as was what was projected. It was supposed to be up to $125 million. It's probably going to be 115 ish. Mm. Not even. I think it might be 112 or 113. I think I put in the projection, but it's not really expected to go. Yeah, 113. If that. So it's not expected to go high enough. So there are some limitations. And if you don't have that 28 pick on the books, then there is a little, that's money that's not there, right? So mm-hmm. that's a little bit more money if you whittle the team all the way down to just LeBron and AD. And there's a long shot chance that Lou Deng could be removed from their books, which I don't think will happen because he retired medically and then he played with the Wolves.
Yeah.
Well, he didn't retire. He retired after he played with the Wolves, but the Lakers are claiming that their medical records can show that he was physically unable to play and that the Wolves should never have signed him. And that's why it didn't work out with the Wolves. So if they can get that extra $5 million off and you take away that number 28 pick, I can start to see, all right, maybe there's a way to get make a run at a max player next summer as well.
Hmm. Let's take a quick second here. And when we come back, we'll take a look at some of the potential opt-ins and opt-outs and their options this next week
yes.
for what they might be able to do in free agency and if there are any other potential trades in the works. Today's show is brought to you in part by Built Go. Look, we are in an absolutely insane stretch of the offseason, basically where a typical offseason gets reduced down to a good week or so of just insanity. So we're going to start hitting these walls in the middle of the afternoon where you're trying to work there at your station and there's a bunch of news and rumors flying around about this team you really care about, and you just feel like it's all kind of dropping on you all at once and your body kind of wears down. Well, for those moments, check out builtgo.com to have these little protein packs that are just filled to the brim with natural energy that you aren't going to crash from after. Again, that's builtgo.com. And for a limited time, you can use the promo code LOCKED for 20% off your next order. Again, that is builtgo.com, promo code LOCKED, where you'll save 20% off your next order. Not your first, definitely not your last. You're going to be able to use this however often that you want. And I, just given the time of year that we're in, would probably advise you do so often. So builtgo.com, use promo code LOCKED for 20% off. Let's go. So I'm back here with Eric Pincus, who, by the way, if you guys want to continue to stay as educated as possible on all of this stuff, he has a streaming channel on YouTube. You could find it on his Twitter page, which it's pinned at the very top, at Eric Pincus. If you guys follow me then and you're not following Eric, then I don't really know what's going on there. But to get back to the Lakers options here, and it all starts with the player options, right? Who opts in, who opts out. I think the only player who has a player option that I would be surprised to see opt out would be JaVale, right? Like it seems pretty unlikely. He'd be doing the Lakers a pretty major favor if he opted mm-hmm. out. But beyond that, there were the reports like you talked about with Avery Bradley, Rajon Rondo has already made that decision. Anthony Davis has already reportedly made that decision. KCP has already made his decision. Beyond, do you follow or do you agree with my read of the situation just in terms of the flexibility they're going to have based on those decisions?
Well, it's tricky because we don't know the answers, and we'll know them within minutes, basically. These decisions will come down. If JaVale opts in at 4-2 and Avery opts in at 5, and you're paying KCP anywhere in the neighborhood of $10 to $15 million, mm-hmm. you're certainly not going to have at those numbers the money to go after a $10 million player. And so the Lakers have to decide what kind of player is vital for them to get. And is there somebody really worth getting? I mean, are you going to be able to pay a Joe Harris or a Jeremy Grant
and Serge Ibaka?
You know, Serge Ibaka, are these players worth the money when you're sacrificing the depth and you're also limiting your payroll so that, say, a midseason trade comes up that would add money to your books? You can't do it because you can't get over that $139 million. If you have injuries and you need to sign guys to contracts for the rest of the season, that could be limiting. And so you may have to trade away a player. Are you keeping Dwight Howard? Are you keeping Markieff Morris? What's the price on them? They can pay them a little bit more than the minimum, close to about $3 million each in the neighborhood. And it adds up very quickly so that if they're keeping Rondo and KCP and JaVale, and it's just not going to happen. And the thing is it really hinges to me around KCP. And if they hadn't had Schroeder, I would have really said they need Rondo, because that second point guard is huge for it's really their only point guard, right? Like, if you say LeBron is their point guard, fine, their second point guard. Mm-hmm. But if you say LeBron's a small forward, then Rondo's really the only true point guard on the roster. And so now Schroeder is going to be the closest approximation of that. And I can at least argue that. Mm-hmm. But without Rondo, that would have been bad. And so to me, I looked at like what the Clippers could offer at about probably the same situation as Lakers, just under $6 million. So might cost the Lakers about $7-7.5 million. But that wasn't what was going to be prohibitive to putting the Lakers into this situation where they don't have their full mid-level. It's really about KCP. And beyond KCP, it's about Avery and JaVale. So you might be able to do KCP at the right number, but you're not also going to be able to do JaVale and McGee. And so, I'm sorry, JaVale and Avery. And if Avery opts out, they lose a defender, they lose a guard, but they have a lot of guards. I mean, their yeah. rotation, even without Green, is something along the lines of Schroeder and THT, Talen Horton-Tucker will play, Caruso, KCP. I don't know if Quinn Cook's going to stick, and I probably left someone out there.
I forgot about Quinn Cook.
yeah.
THT, I guess, is technically yeah,
so
there.
He's going to play. So, like, they're, if you had Avery, that's not a bad thing, and they can make it work, especially without Danny Green, because there's your wing defender. But looks like they're trying to go after Wesley Matthews. If Avery leaves, et cetera, it's a lot of players at that position. There's a lot of depth already, and Schroeder's going to play big minutes. And so I look at this team and I think they're in a good position. They already added an upgrade. There's a little bit of addition by subtraction. And if they can, JaVale McGee might be attractive to a team like the Blazers. They have a trade exception big enough to take him in. And let's say they don't want to pay Hassan Whiteside and want a backup for Nurkic, then maybe mm-hmm. JaVale is appealing to them. Maybe not. You know, I don't know that they want to deal with the Lakers. I know that they tend to have I don't remember a lot of history of yeah. the Blazers and Lakers dealing together. I'd have to look in my records to see when the last time they made a trade. So
I can't something really to think about one you like know, off the top I don't, of my head.
Which one?
I said I can't really recall one off the top of my head.
You might have one. I'd have to think about that. I'm sure there is one, and I bet if we look closely, we could find one. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I think the Lakers have to weigh the benefit of paying someone $9 million and who you're going to get, or $10 million, versus paying someone $6 million, or just under $6 million. Like, it might be fine getting someone like Mo Harkless, or getting someone like I don't know if Serge Ibaka would take that kind of money. Maybe not. Mm-hmm. It's all going to depend on who's offering what. I think the Raptors are going to offer money to Serge for 1 year, like a big deal for 1 year, but they may not. And if they don't, maybe the Nets go after. Nets are supposedly going after everyone. So we'll see. This is going to be fun. It's going to be a wild couple of, really a couple of days, but a wild week.
It, trade-wise, the Lakers kind of emptied their chest, right, between Green's contract, his expiring, and then the 28th pick. Depending on how teams feel about Kuz, sure, he's potentially an asset, but they don't really have many contracts outside of Kuz, because you have to match, basically. Kuz is only making $1.5 million, right, basically? He's still in his rookie deal?
No, he's more than that. He'll be at 3.6 almost this season. He was making just under 2, But once the new season starts, he's about 3.6. So it does go up a little bit, but it's still, to your point, not a lot.
Yeah, so it's still pretty difficult to get matching salaries there. Do you see any kind of, you know, would the Lakers continue to dangle Kuz out there, or do you think they're basically traded out at this point?
I mean, from what I understand, there was interest in Jrue Holiday mm-hmm. on the Lakers side ahead of Dennis Schroeder with a similar package, but with Kuzma in it as well. Mm. And there's a lot of teams going after Jrue. Jrue's a very, very good player.
Yeah.
Better defender than Schroeder. Just probably a better player overall, but both are very good and you still have Kuzma. So I know that on some level they'd be willing to move him if it was like a significant upgrade, but just trading him for the sake of trading him doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
As far as matching salary, you sort of are reliant on players opting in if you want to trade Kuz now, right? Mm-hmm. Like if Avery opts in and JaVale opt in, that's $9 million right there. And then you add in the salary of Kuz, as we said, was about 3.5, right? So now you're getting somewhere and you include Cook. You probably have to guarantee him for the season. He's currently not guaranteed. He's only $1 million guaranteed of his three. Mm-hmm. But if you guarantee his money, you could even technically do a sign in trade with Deion Waiters or Jared Dudley. Like there are little, but those sign in trades, actually it wouldn't even lock the Lakers in. It would lock in the other team with a hard cap, but it wouldn't lock the Lakers in. So there depends on those options. Without them, it's hard. And I don't think the Lakers want to trade away all their depth, but if the argument is they want Avery and JaVale to opt out and they're expecting them to opt out, but they do opt in and Cook wasn't going to stick, then really the only piece you're losing there is Kuzma. So it's not, do I think it's going to happen? No, I don't think it's going to happen, but it's a fun league and a lot of wild things happen. So I don't like to say this, you know, some things are impossible. You know, this is not an impossibility, mm-hmm. But it doesn't sound like Avery's opting in. We'll have to find out soon enough. That kind of takes away a big chunk of that, but that doesn't mean there aren't good players who are making less money too. You don't have to get somebody who's making 15, 20 million. You can get somebody who's making 6, 7, 8 million who happens to be a better fit. I'd have to look and see if there's anyone who qualifies in that kind of range, but I think Kuzma, he didn't end the season where I think his value was like every team had to have him because he was so overwhelming. I think also he showed that he could be part of a championship team and defend. He didn't defend very well against Denver, I didn't think, but against the other teams, I thought he played pretty well for the mm-hmm. most part, even Miami to a degree. He was very good against Houston. I thought he was very good against Portland. Mm-hmm. So I think there's value there, but maybe they're not maxing out that value. But again, we talked about like 2021, and if they are looking to make a free agent, big gigantic splash, that might preclude them keeping Kuzma. And so if you are not planning on keeping him, then trading him would be smart, certainly. But they may add other pieces, and maybe even who they add with the mid-level then becomes a piece that maybe they trade at the deadline. Like mm-hmm. let's just say you did sign Serge Ibaka, and then you're like, realize that he wasn't as good as you thought for the Lakers, and they have Dwight and some other bigs and or whatever they do. And then you make a trade and now you have some salary there. I'm not saying it's likely. I'm just saying it's always fluid. You just don't know what's going to happen. You can't ask Rob Pelinka or any of these other teams what's going to happen. They have probably 20, 30 things that they'd like to do, maybe more, but probably at least a dozen things that they'd like to accomplish. Mm-hmm. And accomplishing those things are very difficult because you can only really accomplish easily the things that you make decisions on. Player mm-hmm. options, like keeping Cook is a very easy decision because it's their decision, but keeping Rondo is not because he can opt out, he can opt in, he can ask for more money, and he could not agree to come. And so facing that, they went and had the opportunity to get Dennis Schroeder. So there you have it.
Let's take one more second here. When we come back, I want to talk about Kuzma because there's, you know, extension talk. It doesn't seem like it's gotten too far, and I'm kind of curious what you think about that. And then we'll see what other odds and ends we can tie up here before we have to call it a day. So I know it sounds harsh or whatever, but you know, Kuzma is up for an extension. I think it would be a pretty poor way to use resources this year to pay him before you necessarily have to, just given the other things that the Lakers are trying to accomplish across their roster. Have you heard anything about you know, where the Lakers are in terms of where they would like to have the extension if they signed one or they offered one, and what Kuz is hoping to get? Have you heard anything on that front, or if an extension is at all imminent?
I don't think it's imminent. I haven't heard any reason to believe it's imminent.
Yeah.
I think I'll know very quickly what the Lakers are thinking based on what Anthony Davis does. If he signs a 2-year deal with an opt out so that he can opt out next season, which to me doesn't make as much sense for Anthony Davis because he'll be a 10-year vet before the 22-23 season. Mm-hmm. And that's when he can jump up to like that much higher max where he can get paid more. Mm-hmm. So wouldn't it make sense to do a three-year deal with an opt out, hit free agency when you can get the most money, as opposed to having to renegotiate like next year? If he plays one more year, opts out again, then he's probably got to do another 1-year mm-hmm. deal so that he can get, or maybe take less over long the life of his deal. Why would he take less? So, you know, there are questions about that. And to me, it just doesn't make sense to do 1+1, but if he does, and he has an option and LeBron has an option and the Lakers, as we see, do they sign KCP to a multi-year deal? Do they sign other players to multi-year deals, or do they become extremely strict and keep their books entirely open? And if that's the case, and if they're really being like militant about not spending in 2021, then that's a problem for Kuzma. Mm-hmm. He takes up 10.8 million of their salary cap space. So if you think about that, like LeBron, AD, 10.8 to Kuzma, the 5 million to Deng, and then you have what are called roster charges. So there are certain numbers that eat up your space, even if you don't have players, and a cap that's not as high as it was supposed to be, then I don't see how the Lakers get to a max for someone like Giannis, or you might be able to get to a rookie max, like a player coming off the rookie scale. So somebody like Kuzma, who's just finishing their contract, mm-hmm. but those players are restricted. So there are, you know, in most, if not all cases, they're restricted. The ones who would be worthy of that kind of money. And so how do you reconcile all that and give Kuzma a contract? Well, one of them would be, I mean, this was something that kind of went down with Julius Randle, where he and his people were open to taking like a 12 point, whatever it was, just under $13 million extension that matched what his cap hold would be. So that for the Lakers, just having his rights was the same as what his money was, so that it was a really positive deal for the Lakers if they wanted to keep him. Obviously they did not. Mm-hmm. In the case of Kuzma, I don't think that number at 10.8 works for him. I think he's thinking closer to 20. And I think if anything, they're probably, if they're thinking anything, he's probably like a $12 to $15 million player right now. Mm-hmm. And would they like to pay him more? Probably, because it means that he's earned more. And if he can show that he's worth like 20 million, then if he's scoring however much and playing great defense and has really grown and shooting more, probably most importantly, shooting the ball well. Mm-hmm. But you can also argue that like the way his contract is right now, any team trading for him has to assume that they're going to keep him. Like you don't give up real value unless you plan on keeping him. So that team has to either A, negotiate a deal with him, or B, understand that they may be on the hook for 15 to 20 million for the guy. Mm-hmm. And that's not necessarily as attractive to every team. Whereas if the Lakers could lock him into like a nice extension, that was a really nice, you know, $12 million flat, like, which I don't think he'll ever take. But if they locked him into like a nice long extension, now to a team like Charlotte or to Indiana, teams that are looking for talent. And I don't think Indiana he fits because they've got players at his position, but mm-hmm. Teams that are looking for young players who are on relatively inexpensive long-term deals become much more attractive. So if they could lock in Kuzma to an extension, that doesn't even mean he isn't perfect for a trade. He might be a good choice for a trade, but the problem there is that messes up the math mm-hmm. and makes it very difficult. So there's no like, this is the way. Not really using the Mandalorian as a reference there, but it's just, if there's no one set, this is the right move for Kyle Kuzma because he hasn't proven it enough on the court, but at the same time, he has proven that he has tremendous talent and upside, and he doesn't make enough as you started. And then also the additional salaries just may not be opted in. So this is a fulcrum decision for the Lakers, but I think you know, the most important thing that they're looking for is to win, but they're also starting to build a core if they keep Schroeder, because that's the other thing is if they do try to go for the cap space in 2021, then Schroeder's visit in LA is a year long, right? But if they are committed to this group, they actually have, if Kuzma sticks and works out, and if Caruso continues to blossom and Talen Horton Tucker, THT, proves that he can be a regular player, and Schroeder, you start to see that, and of course, AD, you've got the makings of a decent core of players who are under 30 who could be here a long time. Mm-hmm. And the only older player is LeBron, and who knows how long he's going to be what he is, but he might get 5 more years out of him at this level.
We've been waiting for any signs of aging, and it just doesn't seem to happen.
I mean, it happened last year when he got hurt, and I think we saw signs. He was still favoring at times his, the groin injury. But, he's a special player, and getting younger isn't a bad thing. Trading away Kuzma for an older piece who's more win now might be good for a year or two, but Kuzma still may be very valuable. But then there's also the argument that he's at the wrong position if he's going to be on this team for the next 3 or 4 years with LeBron and AD. So there's a lot to answer that I can't possibly answer, because I don't think anyone in the Laker organization has an entirely clear picture other than what their goals are. I don't think they know how it's going to unfold. They probably know more than I do, certainly, because they're on the phones and you were on the cusp of deals and the draft and everything. So they probably have a much better idea of what's going to happen. They've talked to the agents, I'm sure, already to get a sense of what they're thinking. We can only project and go off of the rumors and the buzz and the people that I talk to in and around the league who at least have an idea. But even that is sometimes not even accurate. You know, people have opinions and they don't always reflect reality. So,
yeah. And other thing that people run into with leaks is that, you know, there's a reason why they're trying to leak it, right? there might be reasons behind trying to get that stuff out.
You know, I'd say sometimes there's some of that. I would say a lot of leaks are just people are friends with people for 10, 15 years and just are talking to people that they're friends with. And then there are strategic things. And some teams are much more manipulative about it. I think there's less manipulation than fans would. This is a world where conspiracy theories and purpose are assigned to things that don't. There's more chaos than there is purpose in these moves. Like teams don't know what they're doing. It's not that they're not, they have plans, and it's not that they're not good at their jobs.
It's just that there's so many variables.
Well, there's decisions that aren't there. So you're making decisions off of, I can make, you know, like we talked about earlier, we can all make decisions based on our behavior, but we can't make a decision on what other teams do. And we have a world where there's obviously financial crunch for certain teams, for all teams to a degree. Teams have very different motivation. Players have different motivation. And even within teams, the ownership groups, like the governors of the teams, might have different points of view than, obviously we saw that with, I think, Daryl Morey and Tillman in Houston, where they were on different pages. And that happens. That's a part of it. And so I've heard from talking to people and executives that it's harder to sell the owner of the team on a trade than it is another team. And so from that's that perspective, I think there's a lot more chaos. I don't think that there are things that are purposely leaked at times, certainly, but it's some of it is just, there's a deal and someone talks about it. If you think about how many people have to be involved, usually agents are the ones leaking and they don't have the same purpose in mind as the team. But once it gets to their player that this might happen, the agents are pretty loose-lipped, and some teams are totally loose-lipped, and some teams know not to deal with other teams as much because they are so, you know, whatever you tell them is going to go right to some of the top reporters in that kind of field, you know, breaking news kind of field, which is definitely not where I reside, although I break some news here and there. Mine is more of the numbers and the math and understanding the rules.
All right. We'll end on that then. Go ahead. And what all are you offering at your streaming channel? What is there any kind of focus there?
The focus has been answering either a question. So, for instance, the first stream I did, which is about 3 weeks ago, I'm just getting started on this, maybe a month ago, was like, why is the tax line so important to a team like the Lakers? And I apply the idea is to teach not just, you know, I have a lot of Laker readers because I've come up covering the Lakers. So my fan base and my reader base are more Laker based. So most of the people are popping in the stream or asking Laker questions, but there's a lot of league-wide stuff too. And everything that applies to the Lakers applies to the whole team, the whole league. I know a lot of Laker fans think they have special rules that limit just their team from making moves, but that's not the case. And so we'll talk about, I'll pull up the actual collective bargaining agreement, and we can look at some of the language into why this rule is what it is. We can look at a different team. We can look at trade possibilities. So we went over different rumors. We looked at Rondo and his options, you know, why the Lakers are limited by the hard cap, why the Clippers probably wouldn't have the money to outspend the Lakers on Rondo, mm-hmm. all those kind of questions. And we just sit and talk and answer those kind of questions. The last one I did was just open forum because it was, there's so much going on. We just talked about all kinds of stuff. We dug really deep into the escrow as to how the league is fixing this financial problem. And it's a big reason why we have basketball back by Christmas, because the league conceded to the players something very favorable. That is really positive for the players when it comes to money. And so we broke that down. So if you want to find my most recent link, I should have it pinned to my Twitter profile. I'm at Eric Pincus, E-R-I-C-P-I-N-C-U-S. I'm still trying to work up a regular schedule for it, but at this point it's once a week, maybe twice. But I'm trying to figure out what the best day is. And this week's a mess because there's, you know, I'm, if I get a chance to stream, great. If I don't, I mean, we've got the draft, we've got free agency. And this is literally, you mentioned Christmas, but like it literally is like the busiest time of year, because I publish all the salaries of Basketball Insiders and a lot of people in the industry and a lot of fans of the game look to those pages to get those numbers. So I feel the pressure to get that out as soon as humanly possible.
Well, thank you very much, Eric, for setting aside some time here for during this crazy busy season. Again, check out his YouTube channel. He's puts words up at Bleacher Report. He just, like he said, talked about his work that he does with Basketball Insiders. It's a insane stretch of year right now, Eric, and I greatly appreciate you hopping on.
Of course, happy to do it. It's going to be a fun week. It's going to be a crazy week, but we'll be seeing basketball like literally training camps, I think, start in a couple weeks.
In like 2 weeks.
It's nuts.
I'm feeling like, man, I'm tired, and I can't even imagine what some of the players are going through. It's insane.
Yeah. Some of them haven't played since March, so some of them are dying to play, but for the Lakers who just played, they're probably like, this is not great.
That's going to do it for this episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast. Pete and I will be back tomorrow to go over what the Lakers' latest options are and get ready for an insane draft night the following night after that. But for now, have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's. We'll talk to you tomorrow.